What's up, everyone? This is the Next Tape Podcast, episode 28 with Mikkel
and Tanika,
where we have conversations on different topics. So we have a guest coming back to the podcast. Tristan, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm all right. I'm pretty good. Just chilling, I guess. what are we talking about today, Tanika?
So today we're going to be continuing on with our kind of mini AI series. And today we're going to be doing AI and how criminals can use that to their advantage, as well as how police can use it to their advantage. So
right.
That's kind of what we're going to be talking about.
Cool. All right. Let's begin.
Start? All right. So AI, again, artificial intelligence, can be exploited by criminals in multiple different ways. Some of those ways can be kind of scary. Some of those ways, not so much, but still. So it can take on kind of that traditional crime. I hate to use that term, but kind of traditional crime, when it comes to like theft or intimidation or terror. And you know, the AI can be used to kind of, you know, bypass like different things. And we're kind of going to go through kind of the different types of crimes that they can use. And this particular article is kind of rating them from kind of the high kind of concern to low concern. So we can talk about the high concern first, and we can maybe have a little discussion about how this can be scary for us normal folks who don't break the law. So those high concern crimes that can be used with AI: audio and visual impersonation. So criminals can impersonate individuals through convincing audio or video manipulation, potentially leading to financial fraud or the manipulation of public opinion. So that's one way that they can use it. Driverless vehicles as weapons. So this one scares me. I don't know about anyone else.
Driverless vehicles what weapons?
We're using them as weapons. So
using them as weapons.
Okay, yeah. So I'll use this kind of definition here, and then I can kind of use kind of things that I've seen even on TV that gets, I'm like, okay, so this is okay, great. The advent of auto vehicles presents an opportunity for terrorists to carry out coordinated attacks without human involvement. So, as we know, driverless cars is becoming somewhat of a thing. I don't know if there's a lot of them here in Canada. I know they do exist, but it seems to be a lot more in the States right now. And that eventually is going to make its way into Canada too. And all I can think about is like there was a Criminal Minds episode many years ago where people were able to break into the computer of the car, and they were controlling the vehicle and were causing like accidents. People were not even just vehicles in that case, they were breaking into the more modern day stoves now, because those are all, you know, have a motherboard now, and causing fires and stuff. So the whole idea of having a driverless vehicle scares the hell out of me.
But then, I mean, it's, I mean, you see that in Tesla. And I think it has a safety, what do you call it? A safety system onto it as well.
So yeah, like, but criminals have the capability once they know how to do it. There's a capability for a criminal to even break through that.
Right.
Okay. Think of it as like a firewall. A criminal could still break through that, right? So even though, yes, it's great that the car has a safety system, which I think in this case, all of them should, for sure, because it's not just those driverless cars, it's any vehicle nowadays too. You can just break into that motherboard and get into it. They can still break through those things, but if they're dedicated enough.
I think that's the indicating that the problem is not the problem is still the criminals, the humans, as opposed to it's yes, they're using technology, but it's not quite artificial intelligence yet, in the sense that it's not the car choosing to drive into. Do you know what I mean? Or to veer off the road or something like that. I mean, if you might not remember a classic X-Files episode. I think it was in one of the first few seasons, but it was a genius who had created effectively an AI house, and the house was self-aware and was killing people in various circumstances and stuff like that. So, do you know what I mean? Like, so it was taking smart house decades early and going full on, but it had been invented by a human, but it was acting independently and making those choices. So I don't quite think, in the case of driverless cars, that we are yet at the point of, thankfully, the cars being self-aware. I don't like this human in me. I'm going to veer off into traffic or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a slight. It's requiring the programming to be there.
And I think we could get there with cars being like that. Yeah. I mean, no, I never saw the X-Files. I wasn't allowed to watch the classic series of X-Files. I was too young.
I saw some, but I don't remember that episode.
No, maybe I've seen the more recent ones.
I watch a lot of reruns.
Yeah, no, right. I watched the more recent ones, but I never went back to the classic series. But
the classic ones, are, I do recommend them.
I thought we should have gotten them, because I did
over the new ones, you believe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would do that too.
Yeah, oh, the original ones were great. But on the same line of sci-fi, actually something more recently, there was a Netflix show animation called Pluto, which I highly recommend. But it's basically taking a classic Astro Boy story from the 80s and redoing it as an 8-part series. And instead of robots, it's really AI. But within that, they've got murderous robots or murderous AI. And that's very much the peak of criminality, obviously. But it's not, the humans aren't really in the same control of it. It is very much it's interesting, because it's sort of splitting hairs here and there as to when humans are in control as creators, and when they are influencing an AI machine to kill, that kind of thing.
We've seen so many examples, like we've been saying, that we've seen so many different examples of why we shouldn't have AI. And like, there's I can't remember the name of the movie, but that's kind of more like a kids geared AI movie. I think it was called Smart House or something, and the house was well aware and she was taking over, not letting people leave. And we've had iRobot, and same thing, the main motherboard was so aware and was killing people. And it's just, why can't we learn? Why not to use AI?
I mean, to go back to your first example, I think we're going to see a really big, we've already seen examples ahead of the US election of fake videos and fake images, and that's going to become rampant. And that's not, you're using AI to generate the content, but it's not. It is humans behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans or Russians, in this case, creating that content to undermine democracy, undermine election.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be so common that it is too late to put the genie back in the bottle now.
Exactly.
There's various government responses in different countries to tackling this, but not really to the extent that I would trust them. I mean, Facebook the other day showed me an ad. It's very common over here. There's an ad about a TV news presenter having died. It's not true, but they keep doing this, oh, tragedy as, you know, or outpouring of grief as over this individual. And I reported the ad to Facebook, and Facebook said, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, that's a clear fake news ad.
Yeah.
But Facebook says nothing wrong with it. Now, if Facebook can't identify or won't identify that as a problem, I certainly don't trust it to identify fake videos, fake pictures in an election year.
Yeah.
And so there's certainly the criminality. Well, actually, it's not even criminal, really, because there aren't laws against this, because nobody was planning ahead. Nobody was thinking ahead. Laws to do with technology are always years and years behind the curve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We did bring that up in the last episode about AI, where we were talking about the fact of, like, here's AI kind of wearing its ugly head now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more in the last couple of years than it ever has, and everyone is just assuming it, and there are no laws yet to regulate the use of AI, especially the use of AI in the criminal sense. So this is going to go on for years and years and years until that is finally done. And even that process of creating a law against AI takes years and years and years of, in and of itself. And that's the scary part of it. And we kind of use, like, cyberbullying as an example, where cyberbullying is a thing that's been going on for so long, but there was no, we're not even done with regulating that. But it's taken so long from the point of us being in elementary school, which has been about 20 plus years now, to the point where we are now. And it's not done. There's still, I feel, so much that needs to be achieved with cyberbullying and creating laws surrounding that. Still so much work to be done.
We're moving too quick. A good example from my day job is last year, employers got very excited about how many clicks they were getting from an article using ChatGPT to find out, oh, what's the best things or the worst things about this community. So you put it in and see what it came up with. And I did as I was told and wrote up a summary of it, and it was ridiculous because it wasn't even accurate.
No.
But I pointed out that it was flawed. I said the ChatGPT was giving all sorts of weird answers. And then about 3 months later, there was a mandatory ethics online module about the use of AI in reporting, which basically said, don't use it. And then a few months after that, we hired a few AI reporters. So reporters who use AI to take press releases, which probably have already been created through AI because that's becoming common, and use that to create stories from it. So we've gone very quickly to embracing it fully without really considering the implications either for staff or anything like that. So, you know, and that's technically innocuous stuff to do with AI, but we're going full steam into it, as opposed to really looking at the criminal stuff. And I'm like you were, I'd keep referencing, you know, that documentary Terminator. We all saw it. We've all seen the multiple versions of it, and we still are racing headlong into, sure, let's just do that. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I feel like humans just consume these movies and think, oh, it's really fun, but it's like, okay, no, these are cautionary tales too, because this is exactly what like is going to happen if we don't stop. And I mean, if AI was being used in such a way where it's not being consumed by regular people, then maybe I wouldn't be so terrified. I'm terrified of the regular person consuming AI and then just, or the criminal consuming AI and using it to their advantage. Mm-hmm. Because we as a human race, well, we don't learn. And we're not careful on certain things that we do or use or whatever. So humans humans scare me.
they embrace. I mean, I'm in Scotland, so I am not in Canada, and yet I've had to deal with a couple people in the last few months saying, mm-hmm. "Oh, how bad is Trudeau?" And they're all legitimate criticisms of Trudeau aside. They are consuming only whatever was coming out of the trucker protest in Ottawa before. And anti-vax comments and stuff like that. That's all they've consumed. And they have developed an entire mythology over how evil Trudeau is. But that we're not even in that country, but they have adopted that. So there's no desire to, you know, if that's your intelligent person, and these are intelligent, you know, business owners or charity bosses or whatever, if they're taking limited information and creating a whole political viewpoint and stuff like that, how easy is it to manipulate supposedly intelligent people with fake images or whatever? And the problem is, once a fake image, fake video is out, it is too late. It doesn't matter if you debunk it, because these things are designed to bolster what people already believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's pushing existing buttons. You know, whether that's it doesn't even require AI. I mean, yesterday the Daily Mail was pushing how the Biden administration had rejected Easter in favor of Trans Day of Visibility. No, it just happens to fall on the same day. But that's how they manipulate it, and that's not even getting to the AI. But AI will certainly contribute to that kind of hate campaign and that kind of thing. And then it goes back to the humans who are consuming it and how they act on it.
Yeah.
And that would be an interesting legal question, is if you are inspired by something that was a fake AI image or video, can you blame that if you went to trial?
Yeah, I mean, that's
can
hard.
Can AI be a co-conspirator?
I don't know, because like we said before, there's no laws regulating AI yet.
Yeah.
So it's very true. Like, I mean, it could definitely create a precedent, even if there is no law surrounding that. Because if you look at some of the trials that we've had like in the past, you know, I can't think of a particular case off the top of my head, but there is one case that I'm thinking of, but I can't remember the name of it, where they use the "I panicked because he was gay" kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you think about that and you're just like, that sounds fucking ridiculous, because it is. That was a defense, and that was a defense that was used, and there's no law at that point saying, you know, at that point saying you can't be gay, it's illegal. Like, there's certain obviously other things that were illegal, but that in and of itself isn't illegal. So And that was used as a defense, and it was allowed in as a defense. Mm-hmm. So maybe AI, in a similar sense, can be brought in as a precedent, in the same way that idiocy was brought in as a defense.
Wait, go back to the car example. If, let's say, you tell a car to drive into a crowd of people, so there is technically no driver.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this would work as a defense, but you know, it will need to be looked at carefully. That you can't charge them with dangerous driving or deadly driving or whatever the phrasing would be, mm-hmm, by country, yeah, because there was no driver, but they were being controlled. So it was somebody controlling a weapon. So those are all questions that need to be considered legally.
That's just scary. I wouldn't be surprised if sometime in our lifetime we see something similar to that.
Yeah.
And that's really scary. Can we stop with the AI?
No, I don't think we
can. Are you for AI? No, I'm just saying, in my personal mind, mm-hmm, AI is something that I think should just be avoided. We shouldn't have AI in general, because yes, AI can be used for good, but AI can also be used for bad. And I'm sorry, but the bad outweighs the good, in my opinion.
So yeah, you're more worried about the negativity about, yes, like AI than, yes, the positive. Okay, I see.
Absolutely, yes.
I think it depends on how you define it, though, because AI, as I was saying, artificial intelligence, usually, at least in the sci-fi term, has meant a fully sentient, I know I am a robot, I am making choices, XYZ, as opposed to simply technology or an app. You know, if we are using Zoom for this call, Zoom isn't aware, I assume. Hi, Zoom. I assume Zoom isn't aware that it is technically controlling us. Or do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
it Zoom isn't self-aware. And so it's technology that's where we're splitting terms. And ChatGPT is a good obvious example. I don't know its level of self-awareness, and it's certainly acting on its own to create answers when you put in questions, which doesn't work. I mean, it told my husband got into an argument with it last year, because it was trying to say that he had been in Degrassi High. Like, no, you were an actor in Degrassi High. And he's like, completely not true, but it was absolutely, ChatGPT was absolutely convinced. So, I mean, leaving those flaws aside, but what are you actually, are you arguing with an algorithm, or are you arguing with an app that is fully sentient and can decide to do, you know, can ChatGPT choose to start a conversation with somebody? I don't actually know, because I don't use it. And equally, then, if, you know, can a car choose to drive to a destination, or is it driving in response to somebody telling it to drive? Or, you know,
yeah,
we're using AI or using technology to create fake images and videos is one thing.
Oh, yeah.
But if the generator knows that it is creating something and can create something, then that is closer to artificial intelligence that we are more familiar with from sci-fi. And that's sort of where my split is, in looking at it.
I also have like a 50-50 split with AI as well. So like, I do agree with a lot you're saying, Tristan.
Yeah.
But I don't
scared
know.
Scared of it.
I agree. I look at it and I just think it's absolutely nuts how far we are racing towards it, and particularly in there's loads of positives. You know, if it can be used for medicine, great.
Yeah.
Analytics and that kind of thing, but I still want a human near it because I don't consider technology to be infallible in the same way as I don't consider humans to be infallible.
Mm-hmm.
They make mistakes.
Both sides make mistakes, yes.
I don't want someone like Elon Musk near it.
No, absolutely.
No.
No.
No, thank you.
Well, that, and then you get into sort of chicken and egg arguments as to, you know, who is the creator of the technology responsible, or is the technology, do you know what I mean? Like, it's is Elon Musk responsible for creating self-driving cars, or is the person who uses a self-driving car, the weapon, responsible? You know, which, maybe that's not chicken and egg, but you know what I mean? Like, it's can we blame him? I can blame him for lots of things, but I'm not sure if I can exclusively blame him.
Yeah.
Probably the ChatGPT guy is more to blame.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. Whoever created ChatGPT.
And we saw examples last year of, I think that was last year, where the board forced him out at one point. And apparently a lot of that discussion was because the board was concerned with the ethical checks and balances that were in place for the developing of that AI. And that's where our questions should be going for anybody who's creating this stuff, is what ethical questions are you putting in place? Because we're going to have to rely on the companies putting checks and balances in place, because legislators won't get to it, certainly not anytime soon. So yeah, we have to look at you know, when we talk about criminality, we have to look at the people who are enabling the technology and the people who are using the technology, with, and then what can be tackled within existing laws, because new ones don't seem to be anywhere near. You know, the UK will go to an election probably sometime this year. Nothing will be dealt with at least for a year on that subject. I can't imagine it would. I suspect it will take at least 2 or 3 before anything gets proposed, and then it would take another year, maybe 2, to get something through. So you're looking potentially at 5 years for the UK to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have more faith that the EU will do something, but the UK isn't part of the EU anymore. But Europe is far more proactive on some of this stuff.
I mean, I can't speak on whether or not here in Canada will be proactive on stuff like this, I don't know. I'm not.
I mean,
we're not in an election year.
Yeah.
Right now, but I don't know.
I don't think that's Canada's main priority right now. There's a lot of issues that's going on with Canada right now.
That's true.
I think that's going to be like, poof. My guess is like 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Until, like, you know, laws. They, like, you know, enforce that. So,
yeah. And again,
we'll all be gone by that point. So it's,
yeah, I know.
We'll all be slains to
T-1000s
or something.
Unless it enhances faster, like, you know, it gets crazy over the last, like, next, like, 5 or, you know, 10 years, you know, like, and then they start to notice it, and then, they start to bring it up in debates, or, you know, start to bring it up in, like, you know, conferences, or you know, on TV. So,
Yeah, but that's still very different than, you know, getting it regulated and creating laws around it. It's very, you can do all the conferences and all of that, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to push it any faster, is what I'm trying to say.
I think on a more likely fast track would be something similar to, in the U.S., Citizens United. So Citizens United went to the Supreme Court and basically had corporations deemed to be people. So in terms of First Amendment rights, free speech rights, and that kind of thing, Citizens United is a person. So a corporation is a person. I can foresee somebody, ChatGPT, something like that, creating a case that would end up going to the Supreme Court, arguing that the ChatGPT has rights as an individual to speak or whatever. And it's obviously a corporate game to them, but will have huge implications. And effectively, that's creating law without legislation. And the Supreme Court in the U.S. loves to do that. They make up laws or break laws all the time. So I can see that probably getting to a court faster than any kind of legislation. And then that create all sorts of other questions about criminality and stuff like that. If you were declaring ChatGPT, for example, a person or a being that has rights under the Constitution, then how you treat that in a criminal case, I have no idea.
I don't know. In any sense, I don't know how you do that in the criminal law, civil. I don't know, because it's something that hasn't, at least in my perspective, in the civil side of things, it hasn't been something that has happened yet. AI is kind of something that's starting to, again, like, kind of poke its head out in the civil side of law, in terms of, you know, lawyers have to do CPD hours every year. There have been more AI offered CPD courses out there. So when you see something like that kind of happening, something is going to be brewing in terms of AI and how that can fit into law practices or even dealing with AI on the claim side of things too. So it's very new, at least on the civil side. I can't speak on the criminal side.
I guess we have to see.
But we only have a couple minutes left here, so let's just end it off here and we can say goodbye to Tristan. He is coming off now, but we're still going to be continuing with the episode. But Tristan, thank you so much for coming and talking about this with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And again, you are going to be coming back for another episode. It'll be the final episode that you'll be coming on. So that'll be in a couple of weeks that you'll get that episode. And again, I'm just going to plug it yet again. If you haven't listened to his podcast, Murder Without End, you gotta go. And you gotta, like I said before, run, don't walk to listen to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's available on Apple, Spotify, and
all available podcasts. Whatever your favorite app is, you can find it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Right. Absolutely.
No
Thank
problem,
you.
Tristan. Appreciate you.
So we're still going to finish up kind of the different criminal things, and then we'll move on to how AI is being used in policing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tailored phishing So if you don't know what phishing is, it's basically a scam that bad people use, where they kind of, it's kind of like when they can say, for example, because I get them all the time, I think we all get them all the time, where you kind of be like, oh, your Canada Post package is ready to be picked up. And you're like, but I don't have Canada Post package. That's basically
so this is so this is not like, you know, well, this is a dumb thing, but like, it's not catfishing, right? It's not like something similar to what that is.
No, okay. It's not catfishing. Catfishing is a totally different thing. If you want to know more about catfishing, go watch Catfish with Neve and Cammy. This is phishing, and phishing with a PH, not an F. So that's what it is. It's PH. So in terms of AI, AI-driven phishing attacks can craft highly convincing messages, making it difficult to distinguish between genuine and malicious communications. So I don't know how much this is actually being done right now, but I do wonder if it is kind of happening, because I mean, we don't get a lot of these types of things that happen within my work, but I know my mom has definitely talked about getting, like, the email, we have gotten them before, but where my mom's been getting like emails from different, like, everyone in her office is getting emails from like the one lawyer who is kind of like asking, is anyone in the office today or something like that, and it's like, okay, but this lawyer would never typically ask this question, because like, you know, so they kind of luckily are able to pick up that it's not real, but when you kind of see, because companies get attacked all the time by hackers and whatnot. So this could be one example of that, maybe. Maybe not, but I do wonder if that's kind of more of an AI-generated email.
Usually, like, you know, companies like, you know, Outlook or, you know, Gmail will pick that up and tell you that this is a safety hazard.
Not all the time.
I usually get... Go ahead.
Sorry, within the company, it's usually not, like, I don't know how much it's Outlook that's picking those stuff up. I know it's not Outlook necessarily picking it up, but it's our IT department that's kind of doing whatever algorithms they need to do to make sure these things are being picked up and deleted or moved to a different place where it's more secure, so that if it isn't real, if it is fake, then it's in a safe place that won't hurt our systems and will be deleted in a way that I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to touch it. Nothing. So it goes over and beyond it being moved to like junk or spam, at least in my office. It's, yes, you have things that move to spam or junk, but then there's a whole separate thing on top of that that really catches them and moves them completely off of our Outlook.
It does, that's the
IT department doing that, not Outlook. And so within companies, it's very different because their IT is also behind that too, trying to make sure. But there are still emails that slip through the cracks. We've seen it. It's happened. I've seen them. It's happened to other people. And it's usually them mimicking these emails. They're mimicking the lawyers, especially. Definitely lawyers within the firm. So, like, for example, I mean, I don't want to... It's not even the name of my company anymore, but we had the name of our company, and the usually within law firms, if people know this, it's usually the last names of maybe a few lawyers, usually equity partners. And what our name was before, the first name of that, they used his name, knowing his name is in the firm name, and he was our managing partner at some point. So they're going to use him. And those are all information you can find out. So that's probably real because he's a managing partner. Now, our managing partner is not on our name, and we do have other people who are on the name. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we're going to see the names of those three people potentially slipping through cracks and, you know, it happens. There's only so much that your IT department can, like, do. You know, something is always going to slip. It's just more so you as the individual in your company or you as the individual in your personal email. Make sure you're using your discretion and make sure you're being careful with what you're
100%
touching and clicking and all of that. But some people aren't. But yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say before all this, Outlook. Yeah, Outlook. I do agree with you. Outlook is not, like, you know, very good at catching those things as well. I have Outlook and as well as Gmail as well. And yeah, Outlook sometimes catches it, but, like, I noticed that they don't have that same stamp what Gmail has, like, you know, safety, you know. But yeah, Gmail's pretty good at, like, you know, catching those things.
I will agree with that, and because I very rarely get phishing or even scam emails on my Gmail, but I get so much on my Outlook. So much, it's ridiculous.
I'm like, come on.
And not even just my personal, but even my email for my other podcast. So much junk on that one too. It's insane.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know, like, you know, MSN/Outlook has been out for, like, you know, the pre-generation of, like, you know, junk mail. Like, it was terrible, like, years ago.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it changed, but
like it's better, but it's not still not, you know, where it should be, I would say.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree.
With Outlook, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Microsoft needs to take a look at that, because that's so much money. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not, like, you know, fixing things like that. Go ahead.
It's Bill Gates, right? He's the one that's Microsoft.
I think it's somebody else.
Isn't it Bill Gates? I feel like it's Bill Gates. But anyway, he's so rich. He's so rich. Can you not put some money towards, I don't know, catching spam, phishing emails, all that? Can't you make that just a little bit better than what it currently is? I mean,
it's not Bill Gates. It's,
who is it?
Satya Nadella.
Okay, but didn't Bill Gates create?
I wish I knew. That's CEO. Yeah, okay.
he created it.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what I was getting at. He created it. I think I do know he sold it or whatever, but he created it. But then whoever then is in charge of it now, whatever. Yeah. Can we make this a little better? You know?
Yeah.
You know, Bill Gates could be a silent partner, even if he's not, like, the main person now. He could be a silent partner.
I think he's the advisor or something like that. He's around.
That could also be a silent partner. You wouldn't know if someone is a silent partner or not. That's the whole point of it being called a silent partner. You wouldn't know that as easily. So another way, and again, these are all the high ones, the high rated things that can be used. We're still in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So disrupting AI controlled systems. So this basically means, as AI systems become integral to various sectors, criminals may target them, causing chaos, power failures, or financial disruptions. So basically what this is saying is different systems, or maybe companies, maybe more in the future if this ever happens, could be more powered by AI and controlled by AI. Not so much control, I hate that term, powered by AI, than the human can attack that AI system and then wreak havoc. So there's also that side of it as well. I don't know. It scares me.
Yeah. Yeah, it scares me too.
Large-scale blackmail. So AI can facilitate large-scale data harvesting and personal vulnerability identification, making traditional blackmail scalable. So it's basically blackmail, but just way bigger. AI-authored fake news, which we did talk about with Tristan. But again, just as a definition, AI-generated fake news can manipulate public perception, though it may not always directly yield financial profit, which that's exactly what we were talking about. And the one thing too that I wanted to add on to something that Tristan said about the Facebook thing, where he saw like a local anchor was quote unquote passed away, even though they're not. And the fact that Facebook is like, it's fine, there's nothing wrong here. It's funny to me that Facebook will put you in quote unquote Facebook jail for saying shit or bitch or whatever in certain things if like in a group or something. And they'll put you in Facebook jail for that. But this
posting raunchy stuff too. Yeah.
But this is okay. The fake news about someone's quote unquote death is okay. It's, I'm so confused with Facebook. I'm just saying.
That's crazy. Yeah. I heard they're trying to get rid of this stuff like that, like, you know, fake news, deep fakes, all that stuff. But
how are they ever going to do it? How are they ever going to? But it's clear that even though they may want to do that, they're not catching the ones that are quote unquote fake news. They're not catching it. So that just goes to show that the fake news looks real.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So as much as they may want to make sure they're getting rid of these things, it's never going to happen. They can talk the talk if they want to. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. I know Twitter, X.
Twitter is so different. It's a cesspool.
Yeah. Twitter has done a decent job with the fake news. Actually, they have community notes.
Okay.
So every time someone just posts fake news, underneath that, they will tell you a source, a real source, and tell you that this is not true, here's a link, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess there was some good that came from Elon Musk buying Twitter.
I mean, it was created before Elon Musk bought Twitter, but he just renamed it to Community Notes. That's basically it.
That's good. That's good then. Okay, so medium concerned crimes now in terms of AI. Mm-hmm. So misuse of military robots. I don't know how we're considering this medium, but here we go. The use of military AI hardware by criminal or terrorist organizations poses a serious threat, though the extent remains uncertain, though. So they don't really know how that's really going to look. I don't consider this a medium crime. I consider it pretty high concern, because that's kind of, I feel like, the first, especially with terrorists, that's kind of like the thing that they will go for is going and attacking the military in whatever way they can. So that can become such a huge problem with regular citizens. So I don't know about that one, but in terms of the placement, but again, it's also concerning when they don't know the extent of it, because again, I feel like sometime in the future, we are going to know the extent of that. And that is scary to me too, that, you know, kind of on that trope, AI being in the hands of terrorist organizations or just regular old citizens that you don't know are pretty much terrorists. I will use the Boston Marathon bombing as an example. They were terrorists. Having AI at their fingertips is absolutely terrifying to me. And it is at their tip, the fingertips. It's easy for them to access. And that's scary. So,
I can give you another example. Like, this is a video game called Watch Dogs. And anybody, any listener has played it. It's based on, you know, how a certain person knows how to use like AI technology and you know, in a good way. But the he also has enemies that use it in so much bad ways. So if you played the if you played the video game Watch Dogs, there's your example of what AI could look like if somebody were to get their hands on to somebody negative were to get their hands on that technology.
So snake oil. So if you kind of don't know, just generally speaking, what snake oil means, which I honestly just learned the term with the show that came out with what's his face, the guy who plays Emperor Kuzco. But snake oil is basically means that something, like, there's like a, in that sense, like there's like a product that's kind of being, you know, presented to you. Is this product real or not? And the product could be real, but the product can also be fake. And that's what the snake oil kind of idea comes from. So in terms of AI, it says fraudulent services masquerading as AI driven solutions can deceive organizations. But education can also mitigate this threat. So it's kind of like, in this, you know, here's this product, you know, it's AI driven. Here's a product that, you know, I'm presenting to you. It's so real, but it's not. And that could be also a way that those people behind the AI can infiltrate your company or your organization. Data poisoning. So this is deliberate manipulation of machine learning data can introduce biases, making it difficult to detect.
But it's like, is that like putting like a virus into a data machine, or is it like
I feel like it's like, over and beyond a virus, but in using that kind of as an example, that's kind of the idea. You can kind of use it as an example, or that's kind of the idea, but I don't think it's necessarily like a virus in that sense, in the traditional sense. I think it's just kind of over and beyond that. You know what I mean? Learning-based cyber attacks. So AI enables massive cyber attacks and really specific cyber attacks, probing multiple systems simultaneously. So that's kind of, so basically what cyber attacks are currently, because cyber attacks happen all the time. I'm thinking even like Life Labs, for example, was one that happened somewhat recently. So cyber attacks happen all the time, and there are things regulating cyber attacks. There are law firms who actually have different departments of different lawyers who specialize in cyber attacks. I don't think a lot of lawyers or firms do cyber attack. That is still so new, but they're out there if you ever have this kind of happen. But now this is cyber attacks on the AI side of things, and that could be way more destructive than a human behind a computer cyber attacking a company and getting whatever details or information that they want, right? In places like Life Labs, which, you know, you have your personal information stored in terms of your, where you live, your name, your health card information, your date of birth. It's all there. And these people can potentially get access to that information. And that was because I do use Life Labs, and God only knows what information they got their hands on when that happened. But anyways, if they were able to get any information, that is. So autonomous, I think automobile, we're going to say automobile because that's a word I've never heard of before, attack drones. So basically auto attack drones, that's basically what that is. Auto drones controlled by AI could complicate criminal activities while keeping the perpetrator at a distance. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's the one I'm scared of, the drones image that
well, drones are a thing in the, mm-hmm. in the end of the day, in terms of like I'm thinking maybe some sections of the military or whatever right. would use drones. That they actually would have real people in control of those drones in that sense, and it keeps them safe. The drones are the ones that are going out there and doing what it needs to do. So now when we think in the sense of someone who still kind of needs to be behind the AI, but kind of control mm-hmm. the AI to do it, but the AI can be programmed to do what it needs to do with these drones. And yeah, I agree, it could be scary because they're obviously not going to do what the military does and go protect us from whatever. They're going to hurt people. So like, again, like, what do you do if that's something that can kind of happen?
Oh yeah, somebody who's a criminal or someone that's like, you know, who's not there, mm-hmm. could just like use that drone and in a dangerous way. Yeah. People are already using it like in a dangerous way right now, like to even harass people, to spy on people mm-hmm. when they're not looking in their houses, etc. Mm-hmm. So like,
Yeah, for someone who doesn't need to necessarily be up in someone's face to commit the crime, you know, who doesn't need that personal aspect of a crime, this is perfect for them. But anyway. Mm-hmm. So online eviction. So this is denial of access to essential online services can be used for extortion or chaos creation. So I guess if someone is saying, no, you can't do this, but for this, you can do it, you know? So that's kind of what it would mean. Tricking face recognition. And we are going to be kind of talking about this and the policing aspect of things too. So criminals can exploit AI-driven face recognition systems by using techniques like morphing, which I feel like I feel like I've seen that in like a TV show or movies or something like that, where that can, you can kind of see like, oh, they're morphed or whatever, so you can't actually like see their face. So yeah, that's something that can happen. Market bombing. So manipulating financial markets via AI is a complex thing. It's also costly and challenging to achieve, which is why it's kind of more on the medium side of things. But it may be, yeah, it's kind of like the stock market, right? So kind of, I think that's kind of what they're talking about. So even though it might be difficult or it might be costly to do that, eventually it is going to be something that happens. Mark my words, it's going to happen. And that's a scary thing.
Depends. Like, when it comes to the stock market, it's like, you know, it's regulated by the government, but like, I don't know how that
doesn't
would
mean
get
anything.
Passed through.
The government doesn't mean anything. You don't think someone is intelligent enough to break through those things? We just talked about it before.
Yeah. They are, but like, the thing is, it's like, oh, like, would they
with the government look into that and just say like, yeah, we're cool with the AI being a part of the stock market, and you know, basically being controlled by AI, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it will ever necessarily be controlled by AI, but it's not to say that AI won't be a part of it either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you can say that it's regulated by the government, but the government can change its regulations if they so choose. And we have no say in that.
If they decide, but if it's somebody like, you know, like some random person that, you know, that created a platform and they start to, like, you know, use AI in an illegal way for the stock market, then that's...
But that is also still possible. That's what...
I mean, yes, but wouldn't that person, you know, be in trouble
wouldn't all of these people who do these things be in trouble? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But does that stop a person from doing what they do? No. Well, you have to remember, we're talking, but that's what I'm trying to say to you. They don't care if they get caught. They're still going to do what they're going to do. You have to, again, I have to remember, you're not a true crime person, but criminals do not care about whether or not they'll get caught. 9 times out of 10, they think they won't. So they are still, you got to remember, a lot of them are narcissists. They don't care if they get caught.
Yep.
They think they won't get caught. So because they have this grandiose idea of themselves, they're never going to stop committing crimes.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, crime.
But this is a crime. This would be considered a crime.
True.
I think you're way too confident in the fact that things are regulated and that they can't break through these things. That's actually a very ignorant way of thinking. Of course they can. Of course they can break through things and get through to things. Wow. I highly disagree with the way you're thinking. About,
I mean, like, that in terms of the stock market, I feel like I said, in terms of that, yes, the criminal can, like, you know, they feel like they're unstoppable, they feel like that they can't, you know, continue to do crimes, etc. But like, getting caught, and you know,
you're thinking too hard on them worrying about being caught. That you have to listen to what I'm saying. They don't care, nor do they think they will be caught, especially if someone's behind a computer. Because even more so, the person who's behind the computer, who's behind the AI as the way to infiltrate the stock market, it's even harder for them to be caught versus someone who's out in the world committing crimes and leaving their DNA. It's so much harder for someone behind the computer to get caught because they're probably changing their IP address, if you can even use an IP address.
Oh, yeah.
Their IP addresses can constantly be changed. And even though the person could be in, like, Canada, for example, their IP address is telling people they're in, like, Germany. You know what I mean? So it is so much harder to catch a person behind a computer committing crime versus someone who's leaving their DNA in a physical sense.
Yeah, I do agree on that part. Like, people can change their IPs or, you know.
That's not something to necessarily agree on. It's just a fact. That is a factual thing. That's what they do.
Oh no, it is a thing. No, it is. Yeah, it is a thing.
So it's because of those reasons why.
Yeah.
The harder part of it is infiltrating the stock market if heavily regulated, or any organization if heavily regulated. That's the hard part. Everything else is easy.
I suggest them not to do that because there's
you can suggest all you want, and 9 times out of 10 they're probably not listening to this podcast.
Listen to me, don't do it.
you can tell them all you want, but you also have to think about the sense of this. When people who do this, they're not individuals, they're organizations of hackers. This is their job.
100%, right?
This is their job 100%. To do this. So just like my job tells me I have to, you know, do X, Y, and Z, their job is telling them, okay, now it's time to infiltrate the stock market.
Right.
So you can tell them all you want.
The group of hackers, I keep forgetting. And then, you know, there's so many of them. I play Watch Dogs.
There's so many of them.
But, yeah. And I'm thinking about an individual person that's, you know,
Want to try or whatever, but I'm not saying that they couldn't, but I mean, 9 times out of 10 these are organization of people who are doing this types of things,
right?
So they're all kind of working together to kind of, you know, do
it. I mean, like, here's another example. Like, there's a Let's go back to video games. Nintendo found a company that was hacking their bringing their Switch games to the internet, and Nintendo was able to find them and basically sue them for millions and millions of dollars. And they're also a hacker group too. So like, that's an example of, you know, getting caught and everything. And,
No, it's not to say that we know as regular folk who are law abiding citizens that it is possible for these people to be caught. Absolutely. You just need them to slip up on one tiny little detail. Because 9 times out of 10, these are also people on the right side of the law who do similar things. I think think Garcia on Criminal Minds, for those people who watch Criminal Minds or whatever, that's a perfect example of someone. I mean, I think she's even more high tech than what we get, but that's a perfect example of someone who is on the right side of the law, who has all of these ways to get in and get the information you need when it comes to criminal people. There are people on like the opposite side of things who are going to catch these people. They're just as smart. They're just not breaking the law. In order to, you know, they're catching the people who are breaking the law. So it is possible that those people, yes, they are able to be caught. Then there are the ones that aren't. So it really just depends on what happens and how they're covering their tracks as well.
Yeah. 100% agree. Yeah. Okay. I do agree what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just not like, you know, the stock market part. It's okay. I agree. Go ahead.
So the low concern crimes that we have here is pretty low stakes, but still. Bias exploitation. So it's basically exploiting existing biases in algorithms. Burglar bots. This one's a little more scary. So burglar bots are basically like small auto bots, robots used for burglary. I didn't even think this was a thing.
That's what I'm scared of, the bots that Elon Musk is creating in the near future. I'm scared of that. That's one thing that you know.
I mean, I would hope that he's going to create them for commercialization purposes. So those people can get their hands on these types of bots. And
you know, a certain type of group, like you're saying, the hacker group can just easily hack them, you know, like. And then, you know,
I hate it.
That would be crazy. Yeah, it's going to be a long time for that to come. Because, I don't think that's going to be.
No.
Because I think he's using it as, you know, to replace people with work, workplaces, and et cetera. And
which is ridiculous to me, because it's like, Why the fuck do you care about other people's industries when you yourself don't fucking work in them? Like, what the fuck do you do, sir? Like, really, what do you do? You don't make the Teslas. You just slap your name on them. You didn't make that rocket ship. You just slapped your name on it. Like, you know, like, what the fuck do you do? You stole Twitter. And you changed name, you know, to kind of, I guess,
so
you have to use letters and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, what do you do?
So there is a story out there. Well, going off topic, but whatever. There's a story out there that PayPal was supposed to be the original X, but he wanted. So basically, Elon Musk wanted, like, basically, when PayPal was in its early days, like before it was PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the names came up as X, and he was the one that came up with it. Bunch of the board around him declined that name. They said, no, we don't want X to be part of the company. So they decide to go with the name PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good idea, because if you name, even if you name a company X, it's, there's a lot of issues with that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, you know, there's a, you know, there's there's XX website, you know, you can go to, you know, well, this is a podcast
talking about, like, for adults. Triple X type websites? Okay.
Yes, triple X type website. So you can go, you can go through a lot of issues. Even, like, you know, even calling the Twitter X is a lot of issues.
If you're talking on the front of kind of using that as an example with X being X, there's already nudity and porn type stuff.
Twitter has been before X.
I mean, I've seen some things.
Don't get me wrong. Like, the site is rated, I think it's 17 plus, which is a good thing. If it was like 13, then. But yeah,
even
but the size
17
rated,
though, is still kind of.
Technically, I don't know. It's technically 8. I don't know, but yeah, it's so many issues calling a website X to a certain point.
I don't call it X anyways. I refuse.
Yeah,
I think it's just stupid. I don't think on that sense. Honestly, my mind's never actually gone there. But I just think it's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, it is. But going back on the bots and every single thing. Yeah, I don't want it yet, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But like,
that robot can't do
it.
I'm better than
robot. Like I said, it's a lot. It's years away, because the AI is not like that smart to, you know, to just like move like that, like humans. Like, you can't move like fruit like humans. It's going to take years. Like, I'm thinking like perhaps 20, 30 years, the process of AI. Bots moving just like humans and etc. Because you're gonna, that's it. That's all I have to say.
Evading AI detection is another one. So it's basically just undermining AI systems used by law enforcement or security services, which I don't talk about. So again, they do bring up AI authored fake reviews. It's fake reviews, not fake news. So, this is basically generating fake content to manipulate review scores. AI-assisted stalking. I hate this. Monitoring individuals' location and activity. I don't consider that low. That's another tool for a stalker to stalk you. When already stalking laws are so bullshit to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you literally have to ask somebody, horrific happened to you in order for someone to take it seriously. This is so horrible. Anyway, forgery, so generating fake content such as art or music. So that's the other thing.
I don't know. Maybe I have, like, you know, music, yes. Art, as such as, like, illustration. Maybe I have a different opinion about that. But, like, yes, artists look at it like, okay, like, it's someone's stealing their job. Someone's taking a job away from me because they're using a certain tool. But, and also artists also look at it like AI is using other art work from previous artists and putting them pieces together. I look at it as like no other than, you know, fan art, to be honest with you. But, you know,
well, and I think you have to look at it from their side, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I understand your perspective of it. Mm-hmm. I also understand their perspective of it.
Yeah.
Because this is their job. This is their livelihood.
Yes.
And I think of 100%. And if I think of it from, like, my eyes, as a legal assistant / clerks, if an AI-generated system was able to do my job, I wouldn't like it either. That's my livelihood.
Yeah. Right?
So you have to think of it from their perspective of,
true.
Especially when it comes to art in general, it's so hard to make money as it is.
Oh, no. Oh, I understand that. It is very hard to make money in doing any type of art, like animation, what else? Illustrations, etc. Like it's very hard. Like the industry is effed up with, you know, how it is. Like, you know, I heard things from Nickelodeon to Disney to Netflix. You know, I heard stuff. It's ridiculous how much they get paid for, and they should be getting paid. Right.
But we're talking about art, though, right? Art is a totally separate thing. Like, yes, you have like the illustrations and animation, all that. That's one thing. Which that yes can be used creating movies and stuff like that. What I mean of art is artists creating art. It is so hard for them to make a buck. If they're even able to make a buck. And when I think about, like, my brother, who, in this the work that he's learning in school right now, it is going to be very hard for him to make money. He can use certain skills and take it to other jobs that he can do and still do certain, like, freelance type stuff too. On top of that, but it is going to be really difficult for him to make money. And when you have now AI coming into the mix of things, it's going to be even harder for someone of his generation and going forward to make money doing something like what he's wants to do. And he, I can't speak on other people in his class, but I've seen his work, some of the work that he's done, and he's very talented.
Right.
But there's always going to be something that's AI that's going to be even better. And that's what sucks.
Right now, AI is not at that point. But
It will be.
Like, it will be. It's almost there. Like, I've seen artwork. I've seen a lot of artwork in terms of, you know, illustrations, drawings, 3D, digital, etc. And they just look as good as, you know, and normal human creating it, which I'm just wowed by it. So it's It's getting there. It's getting to the point that AI is going to be replacing a lot of artists in the near future, which is sad. So
it is sad, yeah.
But it's the company's jobs to enforce rules that, you know, human artists can create or have jobs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of art. Like what Tristan was saying too, like within the work he does, that they do have AI reporters as well. If you I have no issue with you having AI in the mix of humans. Like you're not. That's I don't have as much of an issue with that. I have more of an issue when you have AI literally replacing or in place of the human. That's where I have a problem. And I've had that problem and that fear of robots are going to take over the world now since I was a child. And yet here we are now, and it's like, oh god, it's happening. Like, and that's I hate that.
Yeah, you've seen that in movies. You just like you put that into movies and you put that into real life, and like you just be like, yeah, it's going to happen soon.
Like, what's next? We're going to make a Jurassic Park. That one. That's because apparently we can't learn. So let's make some dinosaurs that are eventually going to turn on us.
Oh, image that though. Image that happening. Like,
oh, I do too, and I hate being, it.
Human being making dinosaurs. Ugh. You know,
I bet there's someone in a lab making them right now.
Probably there's probably I'm thinking that, you know, like it's gonna be taking 20 years for me to do this, but you know what,
if let's not more it, you know, if not so more like... they could take more than 20 years
possibly.
I hope. Yeah, so possibly long that I'll be too like... old to want to go to Jurassic Park anyway.
Hopefully they make it for good, like, you know, museums. How? Instead of like how? Making it for like, you know,
they made Jurassic world. They made Jurassic World to be a good thing. It was supposed to be a good thing. Do you not watch the movies? They turn the dinosaurs turned the on the people.
Yeah,
okay, no, so it was never meant to be a negative thing. It turned negative because the dinosaurs took over and ate people. So
yeah, it's gonna be one crime. Yeah. Okay.
All okay. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So now let's kind of switch gears and kind of talk about how AI can be good in this criminal world, and that's in terms of policing. So AI definitely has the potential to transform the way that the police investigate and solve crimes. It can identify patterns and links and evidence. It can sift through vast amounts of data far more quickly than any human could, which is definitely true because, you know, definitely back in the day where you had task forces that had to like spend so much time going through different evidence, not only the evidence, but the sifting through, like if you have like hundreds and hundreds of names on a list of somewhere on there is potentially the actual person, that can be just kind of cut down in half and can definitely make solving crimes happen, go through a little faster too. But there have been missteps though with AI and policing. So we are going to kind of talk about that and how maybe they can improve on stuff like that. So for an example of one misstep, there were numerous reports in the U.S. last year about AI-powered facial recognition, which I said we were going to talk about, failing to accurately identify black faces. So not black face, but black faces. It seems to easily be able to... Yeah, well, the kind of... I don't know why that is. We'll kind of figure it out.
So did it. So the AI is racist.
I don't know if AI is necessarily able to be racist, but It's probably, I imagine the darker the person is, like maybe someone with lighter complexion can be picked up.
Yeah, I think it's similar cameras. Like people have issues with like, you know.
Oh, this is totally separate though.
Like when it comes to like t-shirts, like clothes, etc. Like you can't be wearing like darker clothes because it's, I think, I don't know what the issue
is. I feel like that's clothes, but improved now though with the advanced technology with cameras. Like maybe yes, back in the day that was the case, but I feel like that's kind of gone better with, depending on the technology that you're using.
I mean, like when I went to go get my passport, they said,
oh, that's totally different. That is totally different. You have, there are rules you have to follow to make sure.
So it's not the camera.
No, it's not. I don't look so much at the camera. It's the rule that you have to do that. What can happen is it can affect the coloration, but it's completely different. They're not using high-tech cameras when doing your visa. Not your visa, your passport picture.
Passport.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not high technology that they're just using regular old cameras.
That's totally different.
But also, I think there is regulation with that too. Yeah, so that's basically, it could be not, but it's easy to pick up like white people, Asian people pretty easily. But for whatever reason, it's having issues with picking up black faces. So we'll get into it. There is an example. So some U.S. cities such as San Francisco and Seattle have already banned the use of this technology. So police cannot use this technology in those places. Yet it is increasingly being used by police forces on both sides of the Atlantic. So we're going to get into all of that. So it is noted that in some cases, it is more likely to give false positive identification for black faces compared to white or Asian ones. And this was something that was said by the NPL, which I can't remember what that stands for now, but the NPL described as statistically significant. So exactly, if you're going to have more false positives, especially with black faces, and I'm sure there's a possibility of that in other races as well, then maybe this is something that shouldn't be used, or, which we will talk about too, if you're going to use it, then the human should be, you know, checking it twice like fucking Santa and making sure that this is an accurate identification. You can't just rely on AI to do the job for you. Otherwise, what is the purpose of you being there then if you're just going to use AI as your goal, your end all be all? So it is still good news that independence tests are taking place, and West Midlands Police has gone a step further, setting up its own ethics committee to evaluate new tech tools. So there's someone behind, you know, seeing what more can we do, what other technologies can we bring in or whatever. So this body is made up of data scientists and chaired by Professor Marion Oswald, who is a professor of law at the University of Northumbria, I think is how you say it. She told the BBC that the committee is currently assessing the use of a specific new facial recognition tool that would allow a police officer to take photographs of a suspect and compare it against a watch list. So that's
interesting.
Something that could be coming up. The NPL, which is the official UK body for setting measurement standards, concluded that the accuracy levels had improved considerably in the last versions of this particular software. Another key policing area that AI may transform is prevention. So prevention is another thing that could happen, which I don't hate it, I guess. Its potential ability to predict where crimes could possibly happen and who might possibly commit those could be detected by this technology. I'm curious as to how that's possible. But at the same time,
I'm going to talk about, like, you know, the video game Watch Dogs. So it's like, that's like, you know, when you, yeah. And then there's an, actually, well, okay, I don't want to be talking about too many video games, but, like, go ahead.
But yeah, like, I'm curious to see how this could actually pan out. While this might conjure up images of the 2002 sci-fi thriller Minority Report, which I've only seen bits and pieces of that movie, but from what I've seen of that movie, holy shit. It's pretty insane. But the idea is no longer just a Hollywood dream. It's going to become reality. A team at the university... What are you going
to say? No. It's a good thing that they're using that type of technology for good instead of just, you know...
Instead of bad.
Yeah.
A team at the University of Chicago has developed an algorithm that claims to be able to predict future crimes a week in advance with 90% accuracy. So somehow they're able to predict when the crime is going to happen with a week prior of it potentially happening with 90% accuracy. That's pretty good odds.
That's pretty good.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
by
that's
that.
Pretty good.
But of course, with the old adage that AI systems are only as good as the data they are fed, which is true, there are obviously concerns either way, because AI can only be as good as it says, as the person who's putting that data into that technology. So let's move on. We're going to also talk about that particular example, because I was able to actually find it, of something of the facial recognition being done falsely. So Miami's assistant police chief told senators at a hearing on Wednesday, which I don't know exactly which Wednesday this was, probably a few weeks back, that the department has been able to solve more murders and violent crimes in the city since it started using artificial intelligence. So the Miami-Dade police needs AI to help them, because trust me, they're not doing it well on their own, 9 times out of 10. But anyways, they are starting to use it, so it says that they're solving more murder, so that's great. But reports that... Sorry, go ahead.
No. By using this technology, they're probably able to solve, like, you know, old criminal acts, you know, like... No, really?
I don't know. I don't know if that also applies to cold case, because you also have to think about you can only solve cold cases if you can get more evidence on top of the evidence that was given. But if you're in terms of using AI, I'm assuming you would kind of have to use the evidence if you want to use AI and nothing else. No further investigation in that sense. You would use it based on the evidence that was given by previous investigators. But if there's not enough evidence, or the evidence is degraded, or whatever, the AI is not going to help you with that. AI is not going to help with that. Unfortunately, which maybe in time it can, but I just don't know how it would work with these kind of older cases that barely had computers to work with, much less AI. I don't know. From what I'm kind of hearing, I don't know if there's much improvement in terms of cold cases. And again, cold cases are usually pushed to the side for the ones that are currently going on. There's not many people who work on cold cases at one time. I think cold cases could benefit from AI. I agree with that, but I think it's going to be a long time coming before it does.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see. Maybe.
Yeah.
So Okay, so reports, there are reports that the use of AI by police departments has led to false arrests, as we've mentioned. It's also, you know, prompting questions by some about this new technology. So an official with the Government Accountability Office said during her testimony at the hearing that is unknown how accurate the brands of AI software used by police are. So they don't know, but yet we're still using it and relying on it at that. So the hearing came a week after 18 Democratic senators raised concerns that the Justice Department is not doing enough to regulate the use of AI by police. They said, quote, "We are deeply concerned that facial recognition technology may reinforce racial bias in our criminal justice system and contribute to arrests based on faulty evidence." And this was said by the senators, which was led by Raphael Warnock of Georgia. And he wrote this in a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland. That's what he had to say. So here's the story. One story shared in the letter was that of a Black man in Georgia who was arrested for using stolen credit cards to buy designer purses in Louisiana. The man remained behind bars for 6 days before authorities realized his arrest was the result of a bad facial recognition match and that he had never been to the state of Louisiana.
Interesting.
Yeah. Among, like, so with that, they were able, obviously, to release him. But the main thing that was kind of said, because I don't have every single piece of this article, but what they were basically kind of saying was, if you're going to use the AI technology, if you must use the AI technology, fine. And facial recognition has been a thing that's been around even before this influx of AI.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But if you're going to use facial recognition, then you should also be doing the grunt work to make sure that that facial recognition is accurate. Finding out that this particular person never was in the state of Louisiana, especially at the time that these things were happening, it's really simple to find out. Not difficult to find out at all. And this is not like a violent crime. So what is it to you to just take the extra step and the extra time to make sure that this is the right person and that you're not putting your resources into the wrong thing, into the wrong person? If it's a violent crime, I can maybe understand the quick response to arrest this person, but this isn't a violent crime. So why couldn't you have just... It's factually not considered a violent crime. I'm telling you, it's not even so much to think so. It's not. Violent crime is considered rape, murder, those types of violence, so violent crimes towards a person, those horrific violent crimes. Creating fake product and selling it is not a violent crime. It's annoying, but it's not considered a violent crime. So why couldn't you just make sure you're doing the right steps, especially when this was not a violent crime? Like, I just don't understand. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Justice Department, in terms of kind of other steps, making sure that AI is gonna do good here, are to make sure that law enforcement agencies receiving millions in federal funding for AI use software doesn't independently shown to be accurate. So that's kind of one of the things that they kind of need to put out there and kind of figure out. So in terms of, like, you know, the Miami-Dade police kind of talking about this particular software and helping them with this, it is great in the sense that it could help with making communities a lot safe, which is great. I'm not against that, it just makes sure you're doing the right thing and you're catching the right people. So the department, which was set by Armando Aguilar, who is the assistant police chief, he said that the use of AI in a number of ways, including facial recognition, reading license plates, monitoring potential threats on social media, and using a ballistics evidence to connect the shots between shootings. So those are different ways that AI could be used, which I find it really interesting, because the thing with ballistics investigations is, and apparently, which I never knew until maybe a couple of years ago, that ballistics is considered like junk science in a sense, kind of similarly with writing analysis and all of that. Like, it's considered kind of junk science. And if AI can help with ballistic investigations so that it can be more accurate, then I'm for that too, because I haven't seen a lot of cases where ballistics went wrong without the use of AI. I mean, if they're out there, please tell me, but like, I haven't seen a lot of example of ballistics being incorrect. But if AI can push that over and make that even just a little more accurate, then I'm for that for sure. So,
same with me.
Yeah. Aguilar also cited a Florida International University study that said detectives have a 66% greater chance of finding suspects in violent crimes when using technology. It's a decent number, but it also wanted a little higher for me. I feel like if you have like a percentage, it's like 70 and up. Perfect. 66, I know it's kind of maybe mincing. It's barely a pass. So, before AI, he said the police department was only able to arrest suspects in 45% of murders and less than 38% of violent crime. So, in terms of those numbers, I understand that that's definitely better. However, after it started using the technology in 2023, it solved 68% of the murders that occurred that year and 58% of the violent crimes. So, he says not using AI, Aguilar said, would be not only would that mean that there would be more crimes that would go unsolved, but also that criminal suspects would be allowed to continue to victimize other people. The assistant police chief said that the technology frees up officers to be able to work on more cases, which is also great too. Being able to, for instance, identify a suspect by comparing their photo with a database of photos can cut out hours, even weeks worth of time, which is also very, very true. Like they always have to say when you kind of listen to police officers talk about solving crimes like this, it is not like CSI where they find out what happened in an hour. Solving crimes can take months, if not years.
Years, or, you know,
even decades, depending on the situation.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to say decades.
It depends. Okay. I think if you did a shoddy work initially, that can happen where it can take decades. If the person didn't leave trace of their DNA, then it can take decades. Sometimes people don't get the answers that they wanted. That happens.
Right.
Okay. So Aguilar said that the Miami Police Department created policies for using the technology after hearing concerns from the community during public hearings. So at least they're taking in considerations from others. Some of those policies, for instance, require more than the identification of someone through facial recognition as enough evidence to arrest them. Great. Rather, Aguilar said an AI-based facial match would be similar to receiving a tip that someone may have committed a crime. So basically, If you'll call in and say, I think my husband committed this crime that y'all talking about. That's a tip. They have to investigate the tip. And if the tip pans out, then we'll go ahead. If the tip doesn't pan out, then we don't go ahead. That is the same idea as what he's saying, that the facial recognition should be treated as. It should be treated in the same sense. And those tips take forever to go through. They do, especially if you have like hundreds and hundreds of them. But it's your job. You signed up for this. So please do that so you make sure you're not arresting someone falsely and could potentially also have that could. You could be liable for putting someone in prison. So, you know, it's better to just do the work and then not have to have your department or individual people be liable for this in the future. So he says, quote, our detectives would do their due diligence and either try to discount or corroborate it with other evidence that could tie that person to the crime, right? So that's what they said. He also says this is absolutely not a substitute for traditional investigative methods. It complements traditional investigative methods. So that's all that should be. Aguilar's point was emphasized by the National Sheriff's Association, Major County Sheriffs of America, and the Major Cities Chiefs Association in a letter to Booker and Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton. So that's also... what they said. So it's essential to recognize that AI-powered technology serves as an investigative assistant to law enforcement than a replacement. And I think that is the biggest thing. So also on top of that one case that I talked about with the black man who was arrested for 6 days, they also went over and beyond talking about and said, based on little or nothing more than an incorrect facial recognition match, they noted that in all there are 6 separate cases where false facial recognition was detected, and all of them were black people.
Right.
So that's also not great. Though, just in terms of like. Why this kind of is, or the people who are probably better recognized with facial recognition, which we kind of briefly talked on. The senators cited a National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, study that found that facial recognition technology is less accurate when analyzing dark-skinned faces, or also those of Native Americans and Asians. So there is a potential that they could also be falsely identified too. The senators also noted that it would violate civil rights laws for the department to give out grants to deploy programs or technologies that may result in discrimination. So there are still, you know, a chance. Like, basically, this only helps white people be potentially. So
So it's racist.
I don't know if it's intentionally racist, but
I know it's not intentionally now.
It's all good. So in I think there's a separate case here too. So there's a Georgia case. I don't know if it's the same one, but this was Randall Curran was this person. Randall Curran Reed. He was arrested because the police used facial recognition to identify 3 suspects from video taken by the store. For the store, I guess he was, I don't know, someone robbed a store or something. Reed's attorney alleged that the detective issued a warrant for Reed's arrest without doing anything else to determine whether or not Cron was actually the individual. So that's not great. There's another example of that. A person by the last name Howard, I think he's a part of the University of California, called for more AI to be evaluated by independent researchers. While the best are highly accurate and effective, there are hundreds of algorithms in development and on the market. Performance can vary significantly among them. So according to studies, She said that the best results may be obtained from the combination of highly accurate algorithm and also well-trained analysts. So that's basically saying you can have the computer, but have the person also there as well. So that's basically it on AI and crime and AI and policing and how that can be beneficial.
Interesting stuff. It's pretty cool. This ends episode 28 of the Next Tape podcast. The Next Tape podcast is available now on all podcast platforms. We also have a website called solo.to/nexttapepodcast. Where else are we at, Tanika?
We are also on Facebook and Instagram at Next Tape Podcast, and Twitter and TikTok at Next Tape Pod.
All right. You can contact on our email at mikaeltanika@gmail.com. That is mikaeltanika@gmail.com. So we talked a lot about things about like AI. You know, you said AI in crimes, AI in policing, and
those are the main umbrellas. And of course, if you didn't listen to the AI in music and movies, definitely hop over to that episode two and take a listen to that. It's like a little AI series that we're having right now. that's what I said in the beginning too. We are doing a little mini AI series. And this is the second episode of it. And we do have one more, the third and final one coming. So we also have that. So look out for that as well.
That's basically it. All right. So I'm Mikael. And
I'm Tanika.
We are out until next week. Peace, guys.
Bye.